back many, many, many years. And, you know, Jimmy and his wife of, I remember when they got saved years ago on our old Monday night Bible studies, and there's been no greater friend to me over the years in ministry. And I look at, and Jimmy represents the men in our church that that are really my rocks. They're guys that no matter what happens, that I know that they got my back, and they're always there, and I love them. We've been through a lot of tough times together, and they're my war buddies. And they're the ones that we slung it out in the foxholes and continue to this day. And so I wanted him to lead it off, and he represents in our church the men and women that him and his wife that really just are always there. And whatever needs to be done, I promise you, whenever we're having an activity or ever something's going on, like a picnic or whatever, and all of the rest of you go home or you got someplace else to go, which is fine, and the mess is left there to be cleaned up, I always look over my shoulder and Jimmy's always there, and he's always saying what needs to be done. And that's, you know, I think that sums him up the best. And I love him with all my heart. And he's my friend. And I appreciate all that he does and brings to this church. You share us what God's got in your heart. You got 20 seconds. Go ahead, Jimmy.
That's not hard. Preach the letter of hell, and I'm out of here. No. Well, this is going to be my Christmas story. It's one I've had for quite some time, but I've shared it with some people, and some people know about it, but this has kind of got a different twist on it than it normally has. This is, if everybody's got their Bible, turn over to Romans chapter 1. And this may seem like an unusual place to go for a Christmas story, but I'm kind of unusual anyway, so we'll just take it with that. I accepted Christ back in 1988, around September 1988, but a year before that, a friend of mine was witnessing to me and their family. And you know how you always have different events going on at your churches and so on and so forth, just like we have here. Well, the church that he was going to, he was telling me about some events that he had going on and programs, and he asked me if I wanted, and my family wanted to come to what they called a living Christmas tree. Well, I didn't know what a living Christmas tree was. I mean, this living Christmas tree, I had never seen anything like that before. This thing was huge. I mean, it was humongous. It was like a great, it was on a great big stage, and this thing went all the way to the ceiling. And some of you I know what the living Christmas tree is, so I'm not cutting it short by any means. And it had lights all over it. They had living bells that they rang, and they sang. People got up inside this structure, and they got up, and then they had little spots up there where everybody sat, and they sang songs. And this was quite different than what I was used to seeing at Christmas time. And anyway, he asked me to come, and he says, you know, how many tickets are you going to need? And I thought, you mean I got to buy tickets to go to this thing, you know? And he says, you don't have to pay for them. He said, I just need to know how many's coming. I said, okay, all right. So I told him, and he got me the tickets, and they had different times where they showed up or you went to this event. And this was a lot different than what I was used to. And it was just totally more than what I was looking for. And it's this living Christmas tree came alive, and it was a big choir. I mean, they just started singing, they told, and then they finally ended up telling a story about Jesus. And I thought that was pretty cool after it was all said and done. But it was different than what I was used to seeing. Now, when I was a kid and I was growing up at Christmas time, you always, you know, how the song goes, he's making a list and he's checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice. Well, I was on the naughty end of that song all the time. And for me at Christmas time, I mean, I wasn't a bad kid, but I just wasn't really, you know, I really didn't do everything my mom and dad told me to do. I'd stay out late at night, ride my bicycle all over the place. And I just, you know, when it was time to take the trash out, because we had the old trash burners where you used to take trash out and burn it. And I wouldn't do that. And anyway, what my mom and dad did for me at Christmas time, in our bedroom, we had like a corner, like up there, like that. And during around Thanksgiving is when it about started, they had this crucifix about this tall, it was on a little pedestal, and it was set up there on a shelf. And if you were good, it would move out on the shelf. It would come forward. And if you were bad, it would go back in the corner. So it would, I mean, and me, it was like playing a game. It was just like up and back and up and back. And, you know, I'd pray at night, oh, come on. Come on off that shelf. Come on. I know you can come out there a little further. I'll be good. I'll do this. I'll do that. Well, it would, most of the time, and my sister would get mad at me. She would always tell me, you know, if you don't straighten up, the cross ain't going to come off of there. And you know, you're bad. Come on. Straighten up. Will you do it right? And we went back and forth with this all the time. But that was what the ultimate deal about that was. If it came off the shelf on Christmas morning, it was down underneath the tree. It miraculously came off that shelf and down underneath the tree. So as I was a kid growing up, that's what I was used to doing. And besides, you know, how we went to that church and they had the big Christmas tree and that was their program. Well, a Roman Catholic church, you know, I've grown up Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholic deal is midnight mass. And I don't know whether any of you know what midnight mass is, but it is the pomp and circumstance of everything. I mean, it is all of what, I mean, you have the Knights of Columbus come out, you have Christmas trees all in the place, the lights turn down real low, and you have a procession, you have a crib over here on the side, and you run up and down, and Brandon can remember this because he played one of the little parts of the little guys that, you know, takes the baby Jesus, and they go up and down the aisles. And I mean, this is what they do. So my idea of, I mean, after seeing all that and seeing this living Christmas tree, I thought, well, these programs are pretty good. That's not bad. So the living Christmas tree was quite different as far as me going to his church and seeing that. And then there were some other things that were different about it. They had Monday night Bible study. Well, Monday night Bible study, as you know, was any question you wanted to ask about the Bible. And I thought this was great. Now, this is after I'd grown up. I got married and started having kids. This was great. Any question you wanted to ask about the Bible. And you got your answer. It wasn't like you just went to this Bible study and everybody just kind of, you know, well, this is my idea. No, no, no. You ask a question, you got an answer. And I thought this was great. And there was always seasonal questions. You know, the seasonal questions about Christmas, the seasonal questions about Thanksgiving, the seasonal questions about Easter and Halloween and all those things. And I thought that would be neat to go to. So I went to the Monday night Bible study. But I didn't get to answer the questions. But I got my questions answered. Bob's laying out these questions about Santa Claus. Just like Thursday night down here. Last Thursday night. I mean, if you were here Thursday night, you got somewhat of what I got back in 1988. About the Christmas tree over there in Jeremiah 10:3. About the ho-ho coming out of the north over in Zechariah 2:6. Then we read over in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. I tell you, when I seen that, that was like a revelation. Bob laid that all out. Like he did Thursday night. He laid out that corruptible man, like Santa Claus, the birds, like Thanksgiving, like the four-footed beast, like the Easter bunny, and the creeping things like Halloween. Man, I just had seen something that I had never seen before. And you talk about excited. I was excited. But I found myself right smack dab in the middle of that verse. Up in 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's where I was. I was the one of those that says they. I was that they. I was that one that changed what the glory of God was. I found myself right there in that verse. And I found out, got all excited about that. I wanted to share that with everybody. Man, you know, I had found out really what Christmas was. It wasn't this. It wasn't what I thought it was. It wasn't all the pomp and circumstance. I read over in Proverbs 15:23 as I was growing older. It says, a man hath joy by answer of his mouth and the word spoken in due season. How good is it? I was excited. Here was the season. Man, I was right into Christmas time. I was ready to share what God had given me through the Bible. Man, what, you know, like Bob said, you've heard him say, you know, don't be stupid and take this out there because they ain't going to believe, you know, when you tell, that was me. I did exactly that. I was so excited about the revelation that God had given me through that. I'd never seen that stuff before. So what did I do? I was, you know, my sister was my concern. I got all excited about that. So what do? First thing, I run over to my sister's house. Kay, you're not going to believe this. You need to see this. Look at this. About this. I said, you need to get saved. I said, if you don't, you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to do all, I mean, and she starts crying. She starts breaking down and she starts crying. My brother-in-law comes out and he says, you need to leave. He said, if you're going to make her cry like this, he says, I don't want you to come back. You need to leave. And I'm like, whoa, what just happened? Oh, you got to be kidding me. And he was serious. He was serious. He wasn't playing around. So I left. I still had that, you know, kiss the reason for the season, wrong reason. I still had that mentality, you know. But I missed over there in the Bible what it says about Colossians 3:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. I missed that one. Well, as time went on, a buddy of mine that I was going to church with, you might have known him by that time, Tom Hall, he didn't know about the Roman Catholic Church. He didn't know how all other things were done. And he asked me, he says, Jimmy said, I'd like to go to midnight mass with you one night. And I said, well, Tom, I don't go there anymore. He says, well, I'd still like to go. He says, I don't know anything about that. He says, I'd like to find out those things. I said, okay, all right, we'll go. So that Christmas, he called me up. And we wait around. You know, usually everybody meets over at grandparents' house. We wait around, we play games, we sing songs, and we, you know, eat, and then we just eat, and we just do more eating. And we lay around, we wait around until 11:30 comes. And then when 11:30 comes, everybody goes to church. So anyway, I told Tom, I said, well, if you get there about 11:30, something like that, we'll be early. So we go there. We go to my old church where we used to go. We're standing up there. Tom walks in. And he just looks around. He goes all the way down to the altar. I mean, he's getting on the altar. He is walking around on the altar now. And here is the priest back over here, and the altar boys are coming out. And Tom's just up there nosing around. You know, he's looking at the Christmas tree. He hasn't got a clue that that's sacred ground up there. Ain't got a clue. And he's up, and he's just walking around all over the place. And I said, Tom, come on, get back down here, man. You can't be up there. And then the altar boys come out, and Tom's going, he's, well, I got a few questions to ask. What is all this? I said, come on, Tom, I'll tell you. Come on back here. So, yeah, we got back there, and we watched the whole show, and the Knights of Columbus are all lined up on the side. And they look like Three Musketeers, if you guys didn't know that. And, I mean, they bring them all out. They come on. They got their swords, and they're standing there, all on the sides. And everybody's out there, and they got the lights. They turn the lights down real low, and the choir starts singing, and it's just, I mean, you get all this stuff. And then when it comes time for Holy Communion, or the communion time, most of the time the people that come in, the men, because they've stayed up all night waiting for this event, are most of the time pretty well soused. So they come to church drunk, or have been drinking. The wives are coming to church. They're crying because their husbands are drinking. And, you know, they're wanting them to get right and everything. I mean, now I'm using Christian phrases, which that wasn't even thought of back then. But now they're wanting him to get right, and they're wanting him to go to Holy Communion, and they're down there, and they're pulling him down. I've seen guys literally crying because their wives want them to do something they didn't want to do. Their wives wanted them to do something that they weren't going along with. And it wasn't because they weren't drinking. It was because they didn't believe what they were having to be made to do. That midnight mass was quite a deal. We sat there and watched the whole thing. And Tom looked over at me and says, Jimmy, he said, have you ever went over there and talked to the priest and asked him any questions? And I said, no, I really haven't. He said, well, I'd like to. So we walked over there after the church and everybody left. We stayed. We hung around. We got him back over there in the back. He said, we got a couple questions we'd like to ask you. He says, okay. And later on, we found out that this priest was drunk. He was an alcoholic. And we asked him, he says, well, you know, where does, and do you guys teach salvation? He says, well, yeah, we believe in salvation. We believe in Jesus, and we teach that. I said, well, what do you do with over in John, where it talks about, you know, do you know whether or not you can have eternal life and go to heaven? He looked at both of us, and he says, oh, you can't know that. He says, you can't know that. So we walked out of there that night, having the understanding why all those people feel the way they do. There was a point in my life I was in that same spot. They won't tell you that you can know for sure that you can have eternal life, that you can know for sure that you can spend eternity with Christ. And, you know, don't take me wrong, I like Christmas just like anybody else does. I like the presents, I like the trees, I like the food, and I like to see the grandkids and all that stuff. But most of all now, my burden is for those lost people who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. You know, I pray this season that the lost world will see us or see God's true glory rather than the one that I felt like I was in Romans chapter 1. And that He will allow us to use us to let them see the truth. That's my Christmas story.
All right, well, they're switching their microphones out. Grab your hymnals again. You don't have to stand unless you want to stretch your legs.